A brand new series. And we're going to begin to look at history. Or another way of saying that, we're going to look at his story. His story. I want you to imagine with me, okay, use your imaginations. You're actually above a huge forest, a million trees, this huge forest, and you're looking at it from above, and all you can see is trees as far as you can see. They just go on and on and on. The rest of this year, we're going to look at 17 of those trees. Change points in his story or history. Huge change points. So we're going to pick out the 17 of the greatest trees. Some of them aren't so great, but they accomplished a huge change in God's path of redemption. I'm going to use the forest analogy as I go on here. There is a path that we're walking on through this forest, all of us. What we want to be walking on is God's path of redemption. And that's what we're going to be looking at through the next 17 or so weeks. I want you to know something about the forest. Something happened early on which completely changed the forest to this very day. You know what that was? Yeah, Adam, sin, Eve. Adam and Eve. They blew it. And even though there are creatures in this forest, they want to devour you, they want to take you out, God has said, I am with you, always, even to the end of the world. So there's great hope as we walk through this forest. I also want you to know that there are some incredible places in this forest that God has prepared for us. Let me read one. It's all over Scripture, but let me read this one text. I think it's very good. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There you go. There's some fantastic pastures, green, in this forest. He leads me beside quiet waters or still waters. And it's there that he restores our soul. So even though we're walking through the forest, even though there's lions, tigers, and bears, and all kinds of things want to eat you up and devour you, God has prepared for us certain places that we can go to and restore our souls. I want you to know that, as you all know, I'm preaching to the choir here today, there are many paths in the forest. We have lots of choices to make. And sometimes we come to the fork in the road. There's lots of forks in the road. And we've got to try to figure out, what path do I walk on now? Which way do I go, left or right? Remember Yogi Berra of the Yankees, he made this statement. He said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. I don't agree with Yogi Berra. I played baseball with his son, by the way. And I was able to listen to him, and I didn't talk with him, but I was right there listening to some of his stories. I'm old, because he goes back a long ways. Bible says there's a path before each person that seems right, but ends in death. So we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful what path we seek. What can we do when we come to the forks in the road? Well, I know one thing. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Your friends, us, Mark, myself, get some counsel. Talk with them. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the forest, I fear no evil. Why? Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is good. And I'm going to say that over and over again, God is good. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I just want you to imagine right before you a table, and it's right there, and it's got provisions, everything you need. It's got food, it's got clothing, it's got whatever you need. It's there. He prepares a table and anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows, and we're in the forest. Then surely goodness and loving kindness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And then the good part, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm looking forward to that, because one day God is going to recreate this earth, this sin-cursed earth. And he's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth. And there won't be any more sin, weeds, demons, devils, animals that chew you up. And I'm looking forward to that day when I get a brand new body and go to a brand new earth. Okay, I just want to, may we enjoy the goodness of God. God is good. Would you agree with me? You know, if you watch Star Trek or some of these other movies, you see that a God will show up in those things. And in most cases, what kind of God is it? It's an evil God, bad God. You know, I'm so glad that God, the real God, the one true God, turned out to be a good God. I mean, he's good. I'm glad he's not an evil God. So I ask myself, am I enjoying God? Am I enjoying God? Beth Moore said this. She said, I want to live on my way home. I want to live. Don't you want to live on your way home? I want to live. And all of us who have been called by Jesus, we're all on our way home. And eventually we'll all be in heaven. I'd say in the next 50 years or so, maybe some of you younger ones, some of you, you know, but most of us will be there. All, I'd say most of us in this room are going to be there. Just a matter of time. But on the way, I don't want to miss the goodness of God. I don't want to miss the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. I don't want to miss it. But Jesus said this one day. He said in John 16, 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. But in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The word tribulation means suffering, trouble, persecution, and we have it, right? It's in the forest. It's just where God placed us. He placed us here. He knows it. And he's got good reason why he placed us here. But be of good cheer. That word good cheer means courageous. Courage. Have courage. In this forest, have courage. I have overcome the world, Jesus said. And that means you and I have overcome the world because we are in Christ. But we have a responsibility. We are to walk in the light. The path that we walk, walk in the light as he is in the light. And we can, I'm telling you, and I've done it. There's been voices come at me on the left and the right. They say, come this way. This is what you need. I've turned. I've walked, you know, off the path of light. It's no, we all do that. I know. We've all done it from time to time. Get back on the path. It's no good out there. All right, we're going to look down now. We're going to zoom in on our very first tree. And that tree is the very first tree in the forest. It's called creation. And I'm going to start in Genesis 1:31, if you want to turn there. Genesis chapter 1. In verse 31, God had already created everything that he was going to create. And he said this, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. But not far from this point, God is going to say something is, it's not good. Remember what that was? What was that? When God, not too far from, what's that? That's right. It's not good that man should be alone. Adam was all by himself, so God made him a helper, a mate, one to come alongside. There is a cool picture back on the walls. These are the pictures that people, young and old, drew during our consecration week. There's a picture, I don't know who drew it, but it's a round goo, soil, mud, gunk, and out of that soil is coming a man. It is the coolest picture. I like it. Man was made from the dust of the ground, the dirt of the ground. If you get a chance, look at it. It's right back there. It's a round, dark brown drawing. And then from man's rib came Eve. A good God creates good things. But I'm going to read the text. I'm going to go through Genesis. I'm going to make just some of the text, and I'm going to make a few comments as we go. So beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he create the heavens and the earth? He spoke it. God calls those things which be not as though they were, and they are. When he spoke, he speaks them. He's God. That's what he can do. He can do it. He did it. David, many, many hundreds of years later, said this, King David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour out speech. Night after night, they communicate knowledge. Creation is speaking all the time, 24/7. It's speaking to every person on planet Earth. Every person. It's there. Look at verse 3, though. Verse 3 says, their voice is not heard. Their voice, my first 24 years as a human being, I didn't hear that voice. I saw the creation. I saw the stars, the sun, the moon. I heard about the incredible stories of how big that the place is out there. But I did not hear what they were trying to tell me. No one can say to God on Judgment Day, I didn't know. You didn't reveal yourself to me. You're not fair. Yes, he has revealed himself. And his creation is declaring the glory of God. The sky proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour out speech. Night after night, they communicate knowledge. Verse 2, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. The earth was one great big ocean. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Now this light right here is not the sun, not the moon, not the stars, because those were created on day 4. So what kind of light was this? Let me just say something. The first step from chaos to order is to bring light. And that's what God did. That's exactly how he works in our lives. The first step to bring chaos into order is to bring light. And God brought you light. You remember the day? Some of you grew up in a Christian home. You grew up believing in Jesus. That's fantastic. Some of you, though, at a later date, I was 24 when I saw Jesus for the very first time. I had a friend a while back, he was like in his 60s when he believed in Jesus. Can God save an old guy? Absolutely. There's nothing impossible. I live in a neighborhood that's full. It's a 55-plus neighborhood. There are stats out there that say, well, most of the people that believe in Jesus come to Jesus when they're young, when they're kids. Can God save that neighborhood? I don't buy that. I don't buy that these people have a small chance to believe. You got to be kidding me. God is God. He can save anybody he wants to. And I think when the saints move out, the sinners will move in. And that's what we've been doing. We've been moving out. Check out the map. We've been prayer walking this city. Have you prayer walked your neighborhood yet? If you have, walk your neighborhood, go over there and get that little green thing and plot out your map where you prayer walked. One day I used to have a telescope. Donna bought me this. I love looking into the sky, into the heavens, and Donna bought me this Newtonian reflector telescope. Oh, man, that thing was so cool. And I had three lenses. I had a 25 millimeter. Let me see. The lowest one was a 9 millimeter. But it could shoot out there. And so I had that thing out looking up, and I was looking at Orion's nebula. When you look at the constellation Orion out there, it looks from the very, you can see it with your eye, but it just looks like a faint star. But when you throw a telescope at it, that's unbelievable. Well, I had my scope out in front of my house, and an older guy that lived in our neighborhood came by, and he stopped. That telescope, I'll tell you, it drew so many people coming to see. And this was a gruff old guy. His name was Ron. And, hey, Ron, come on. What are you looking at? Right now I'm looking at Orion's Nebula. Come on, take a look at it. Take a look. It's just this huge gas and dust. It's lit up by star. And it's so cool. With a telescope, it looks so cool. And I said, Ron, do you know how far in diameter, you know how far that thing extends, that nebula? You know how big that thing is? 30 to 40 light years. 30 to 40. I said, you know, Ron, it takes 8 minutes and 20 seconds for light from the sun to get to the earth, traveling at 186,000 miles a second. It takes 30 to 40 years of light traveling at 186,000 miles a second to span the width of that nebula. And from our eyes, it is just a tiny speck. The vastness of God's creation is just unbelievable. And that's part, just a little tiny part of our Milky Way galaxy. And there are probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of galaxies out there. The size and the expanse of what God created is way beyond what we know. We're seeing a little part of it, I think. I told Ron all that. I told him about God who created that thing. But as the scripture says, their voice is not heard. Ron didn't hear that. He couldn't hear it. But I had a chance to talk with Ron many, many different times. And hopefully he's going to be in heaven one day. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. I already read that one. Earth was one great big ocean. Well, then God said, let there be light. Okay, and let me find my place here. Okay. Oh, yeah. The first step from chaos to order is light. Let me read what Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. There it is. And this same God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This same God has shown light in our hearts, gave us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Chris. Put that first. The earth at this time is one great big ocean. There it is. Next one. But then God said, let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water. So God made the expanse and separated water under the expanse from the water above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse sky. There it is. So God puts atmosphere, sky, between the waters, and he puts a whole bunch of water above it. So there was some kind of a canopy of water all around. Next one, Chris. Then God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. He called the gathering of the water seas. And God saw that it was good. There you go. Sorry for my poor drawing, but you get the idea. I'm going to skip now forward. I'm going to go to chapter 7 real fast, just for the closure of this portion of Scripture. We know that man sinned, and the result was a curse upon the earth, and as man multiplied, hundreds of years later, God saw that every thought of a man was, every thought of every person was evil inside. It was just awful what was going on. Angels were doing weird things with people, and God said, it's over. I'm going to start over. So hundreds of years later, there was one man. Who was that man? Noah, preacher of righteousness. He found favor. He found grace in the sight of the Lord. Just one guy. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day of the month, on that day all the sources of the watery depths burst open. So water came up from the ground, boom. And the flood, here it is, get this, and the floodgates of the sky were open. And rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. So for 40 days and 40 nights, all of that water above the sky came down. I just imagine it was just a torrential rain. You've probably been in places where it's coming down, boom. Well, that's what happened. It just came down for 40 days, 40 nights. Water came up from below, and what happened? The earth turned into one great big ocean again, and God judged every living creature except for those. The next one, Chris, there was one little tiny boat, and it had a representative of all the creatures and man to start all over again. You know that little tiny boat? God gave the people 120 years. In 120 years, it was going to flood out and everybody, it's gone. So God gave Noah 120 years to build that thing. Let me give you a little example of how big that was. That thing was 75 feet wide. How far is that? Okay, go from this wall and go to the third building over, the end of the other side of that wall. This wall to the third over, that's 80 feet. Well, this was 75 feet, pretty wide. It was 45 feet tall. That is 23 feet. Double it. Put two buildings on top of each other. That's how tall it was. It was 450 feet long. Okay, from the front door to the back door is 100 feet. Take four of our buildings and put them side by side, and then a half more. Side by side, 450 feet. That was not a little boat. That thing was huge. And easily took care of all the animals. Easily. No, there it was. But then the waters slowly went down and we ended up with what we've got today. We've got the land mass, we've got the seas, pretty much in the same fashion as we see it today. I think. Okay, one more, Chris. The next 16 verses in Genesis 1 tells us all that God created. He created all the plants and all the trees, and he said on the third day, and he said it was good. Then he created the sun, moon, and stars on the fourth day, and it was good. And then he created every creature in the sea, every creature in the air, the birds, it was good. Then he created the wildlife, every animal. He recreated man and he created woman. It was very good, very good. And then God created an incredible garden, and life was good. But man and woman, I think before they even had a child, God told them to have a bunch of kids before they even had one, I think. They ran into a tree in the forest. One tree. And it was the only tree that God said not to eat from. And what did they do? They ate from it. Yeah. It was not a good story. There was a creature in that forest who came to devour them. And he did. And because of that, there has been a curse upon the land. And we are recipients of it. Our normal life now is 70 years. And we will die. The wages, the result of sin is death, the scripture says. Okay, so the forest turned out to be a pretty rough place after that. But did it change God's goodness? It didn't change a bit who God is. It changed a whole bunch where we live, this forest in which we live. God is good still. And Jesus came to give us life. And life more abundantly. He came to give us joy inexpressible and full of glory. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now you're probably thinking, Dave, why ain't I experiencing that? If he did that, what's going on? Hang in there with me. He came that we might be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Why? That's the only way we can walk in this forest with success. From the filling of the Spirit, from the Spirit come the gifts of the Spirit, which edify and build up the church. From the Spirit comes the fruit of the Spirit. The result of the Spirit in our life is, remember, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need everything that God gives. We need it. I want it. I want everything that God has for me. I want it. Do you want it? That's my attitude. Be filled with the Spirit, singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Singing. Worshiping is a result of being filled with the Spirit. But we still live in the forest. We're still here. The forest is still out there. And no matter who we are, we all experience difficulties. And to be sure, the degree of the difficulties will vary from person to person, from time to time, and from place to place. They will vary. I remember a two-year period in Donna and I's life where we lost 7 of our family members, both my parents and both Donna's parents, grandma, a couple other family members, and it was rough. That was rough. I remember that as a hard time. It seemed like I was at the hospital almost every day. That was a rough period of time. So it can be, all kinds of degrees of difficulties that we run into. Losing a loved one, to even the little things of, hot drinks becoming cold. I'll get a cup of coffee, and I've got this new thing now. I'm doing my art rather than on a canvas. I've been doing it on an iPad. I've been graphic artists now, and I'm really liking it. I'll get a cup of coffee and I'll take it out to my couch, and there's a little ledge right there, and I sit down, and I get drawing. Guess what happens with the hot coffee? It goes cold, cold, cold. I might have taken a sip on the way there. I take it back, I heat it back up in the microwave. It's all hot. I go back out there. Guess what happens again? Unbelievable. That could be cold drink becoming hot. You know what I mean? It's little things. We all experience difficulties. But God is good. He has not changed. Now, I want to give you some examples of why we experience difficulties. We all do. Number one, Chris, throw it up there. Number one, Chris. There you go. Life, God is good, but life can be hard because the world is broken. It's suffering. It's cursed by God. But Jesus suffered for his suffering world, that we would find healing in him, and power in him. And one day it's all going to be restored, as we said. But not right now. It's not being restored right now. So, wherever we are, we're going to run into difficulties. Does anybody understand? You all agree with me there, right? It's kind of a paradox. God put us in the forest, and there's lions, tigers, and bears, and creatures that want to take us out. But he's still good, and we can enjoy the goodness of God, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Second, life can be hard because of you and me. Sometimes you and me, we make bad decisions. We see three paths, and we're determined to go one way or the other, and it's the wrong path. Whether it's accidentally we go down that path or willfully we go down that path. I want that car. And you just take off. One day I came home with a brand new truck. Remember that? I didn't even tell Donna. Donna and I, we make, our decisions are made together. We don't make decisions by ourselves. If we do, guys, don't do that. I did it. The last time I did it. I went out and bought a brand new truck. Can you believe I did that? I can hardly believe I did that. So that lady said, you say, no, I don't believe you did that. I don't either. I went the wrong path. The truck just looks so good. Ah. And sometimes we don't really respond well when we reap the benefits, when we reap what we sow, right? And if we sow to the flesh, guys and ladies, men and women of God, when we sow to the flesh, we will reap from the flesh corruption. We reap what we sow. That's a biblical principle today. So here's what happens to some people. The foolishness of man ruins his way. Proverbs 19:3. Now look, this next one, And his heart rages against the Lord. Ouch. That's not good. It's not good to go your own way. But then to rage against the Lord. Oh, man. That's double. Double bad. But I was taught something really early in my Christian life. And Dan and Debbie McLaren over here, we were new Christians together. And I'm glad they moved back to Paso Robles. And we probably were in the same class, but we were taught basics, fundamentals. Fundamentals of any of a sport are so important. I hate it when I see big leaguers and they don't use the fundamentals of the game. These guys are getting millions of dollars and they can't do the fundamentals. It just fries me. Okay, let me get back. Bible says this, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to do what? To forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I learned that early on in my Christian walk. And we all go down the wrong, we'll all buy brand new trucks and we shouldn't have, or lots of other weird things that we can get ourselves involved in. It's called sin. Do not live in it. Don't walk in it. Confess it. Confess means to say the same thing. Say the same thing that God says. Lord, that was, I can't believe I did that. Lord, forgive me. He does forgive me. I just acknowledge it. But I Lord, forgive me for that. Makes me mad when I do that. But I'm going to go on now. Because He forgave me and cleansed me. Now I just go on. I just put that behind me. It's over. It's done. It's like I never did it. I just go on. I said, don't let me do that again. Give me, Lord. Okay. And I go on. But what's going to happen? The devil's going to come along and he's going to condemn you. He's going to condemn you. You call yourself a Christian? Look what you just did. You're a Christian. You know. He's going to try to keep you there. He wants to keep you in the past. Now, I choose to do this. I choose to believe God rather than the devil, right? Are you tracking with me there? Why would we believe what he says over God? I don't believe God. I'm not listening to the tad temptation, accusation, and deception. I'm not going to go there. Next one, Chris. Life can be hard because of someone else. There are times when other people, they sin against us. Now, this is the story of Joseph and his 11 brothers. What'd they do? They sold him into slavery. They hated him. This is the story of a man who was beat up and left on the road in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Hey, this is the story of Jesus. He is flogged from an inch of his life. He carries the cross wherever that cross went to, and they nail him to it. Unbelievable. People are rolling dice or casting lots for his clothing. And what does he do? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He asks God to forgive them. And that's what we have to do. We cannot let somebody do something to us or say something against us or not do something. Sin of commission or sin of omission. We can't let that take us out. We've got to forgive them. Anybody here that has any bitterness or anger towards somebody in your past and you haven't forgiven them that yet? Might be envy. Hatred. Forgive them. That's what Jesus said. Forgive them. You're not made to hold on to bitterness and anger and unforgiveness and those things. We can't hold on to that stuff. That's the past. Got to let it go. Lord, I forgive my father for what he did to me. Lord, I forgive John Doe for the things he said and did against me. Lord, I'm going to leave it in your hands. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord, not you. Let go of that. It's hard to walk in the forest when you're holding on to anger and bitterness and all that stuff. It's not meant. We're not meant to hold on to that. And God hears it. Lord, I forgive my dad. He hears it, and he does business. It's good. He likes that. Keep short accounts. Nothing gets my dander up more if I'm driving and somebody cuts me off on the road, you know. Somebody come up and then, boom, they shoot right in. Oh, man, if I had my GTO, I would, boom. But my little old car engine can hardly go down the road, much less catch a speeder. But I got to let that go. And so I'll say, Lord, you know, forgive me for my anger, that outburst of anger that just rose up, you know, especially if I've got my wife in the car or somebody else. It makes me mad. Lord, I know that guy or that lady, whoever that person was, they're in a hurry. Protect them, Lord. Protect them. Keep them safe out there. And Lord, I'm forgive me for my anger. Lord, thank you. And I just keep right on going. You need to do business with God if that's the case. Last one. God is good, but life can be hard. I say life is hard because we struggle against world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness. I would say that there are billions of evil spirits out there. I don't know how many billion people on earth, 5, 6, I don't know, 7? I think there's a plenty to go around for every person. I think they're assigned against us. They're in the forest. God knows it. He put us here with them. But he's given us the tools that we need to walk on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. They're here in Paso Robles. I know that. And they're trying to devour anybody that they can devour. So we need to, what does the Bible say? Be alert. Watch. So here's the, it's like this. You're walking. Be alert. Watch. You know, they might come up and just throw some garbage. Temptation. See that truck? Oh, you need that truck. You got to have that truck. I didn't have my ears on. Accusation. Who do you think you are? You're no good. You're old. You can't do anything anymore. You might as well just pack it up and give up. No. Temptation, accusation, deception. They're really good at it. They've been doing it for thousands of years. And how old are you? Yeah, you get the idea. Be alert. Watch. Resist him firm in your faith. Firm. So this I use the terminology of a radio. The radio is any crummy thought, any negative emotion, or any negative physical thing that happens to us. My first assumption is that this is an enemy. As I'm walking through the forest, my radio is on. And so when I hear the garbage stuff, the lies, I'm going to respond to it. I mean, how long would you put up with this? Some guy comes up to you, and you just look right away. Who do you think you are? You're no good. You can't work. How long would you put up with that? I'm here, me.
Not long.
We do it all the time in the spirit realm. Some spirit will come up and start talking like that to us. And rather catch it and resist it, we just listen to it. And a lot of times we'll start believing it. And then they won a great victory in your life when you start believing the lies, the temptation, accusation, and deception. You've got to respond. You've got to have a defense. You can't have an offense without a defense. I learned that in sports. But it works in the spirit realm too, in the kingdom of God. You've got to have a defense, and you've got to be tough with the spirit realm. So when they come up and try to talk garbage to me, that's a lie. I can't see them, but I know they're there. That's a lie. I won't receive it. I'm not going to dwell on that lie. The scripture says, if I have a scripture, that's a sword of the spirit. I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to say it out loud. Now you, whoever you are, out. Go right through the wall. Move it. Get out of my presence. Now, it's over. Boom. I just keep walking. Is it over? No. Nope. You're going to run into all kinds of stuff out there. It's where we are. It's where we are. Oh boy, I wish I had more time. I could go on and on and on this subject. I want you to know what, I'm going to close with this. I want you to know what Jesus did on the cross to that enemy, to those 7, 8, 14 billion spirits. And by the way, I just want to say, I have lived through in this country an incredible change. And so have you, some of you guys that are somewhere where I'm at. We used to go to school with our guns in the truck. And they would just stay in the truck. No one ever shot anybody. You didn't hear these shootings. That's the way I grew up. I lived most of my life like that. Something happened here in the United States. And it's spiritual. It has nothing to do with guns. It has to do with people that have been listening to the garbage from the demons over and over, maybe their whole life. I feel bad for them. They need help. But when they go off, I think the enemy has inundated this culture big time. And it's happened much more prevalent in my lifetime. And I can see it. The word for spirit in the scripture is pneuma. You know what that word is? Wind. Wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind does. So when you turn on your TV and you see people nuts doing awful things, that's the wind. That's the wind. And that's where we live. The forest has become inundated with lions, tigers, and bears. What'd you say? Oh, my. Reminds me of that. What's the name of that movie? Yeah, Wizard of Oz, yeah. Follow you the yellow brick road. Oh, my. Well, we've got everything we need to equip us. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We've got it. Jesus rendered the devil and his angels powerless. Hebrews 2:14. Write these things down if they're not in your notes. I think they are. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, that's us, he, Jesus himself, likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And that includes all the demons. Jesus disarmed the devil and his angels, Colossians 2:15. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them having triumphed over them. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? To keep people bound up, to keep people lost, to keep people from seeing and hearing. That's his word. He blinds the minds of every unbeliever. Who's blinding their minds? The devil. He's actively involved. But Jesus destroyed his works. He now has all authority in heaven and on earth, and he told us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's the truth. We can go. Yeah, we're going to run into opposition. That's okay. We overwhelmingly conquer through Christ, Romans 8:37. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. So, in your notes, Chris, one more time. Jesus rendered them powerless, but he empowered us. I like that. And when I run into a spirit, and I have a ministry of helping people out of demonic bondage. And when those demons are trying to raise their, you know, voice and raise their authority, trying to think they've got more, they're bluffers. It's like playing poker. Everybody wants to, they want me to think they have a hand bigger than what they've got. They don't. I just tell them, hey, you have been disarmed. I know that. You know that. You've been rendered powerless. I know that. You know that I know it. Jesus destroyed the works of you, the devil. And you're here because God's got you here. And that's for the healing of this individual that they're trying to take out. Okay, Jesus rendered them powerless, but empowered us. Second, Jesus disarmed them, but he armed us. Jesus bound them, tied them up, but he set us free. Are you catching this? Jesus destroyed their works, but empowers our works. Ordains our works, and the gates will not stop us. There's a song that maybe we're going to do. It's called So Will I. It's a cool song. I'm going to read some of the lyrics of that song. Listen to this. If creation sings his praises, so will I. And creation does sing his praises, right? So will I. If creation still obeys you, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If everything exists to lift you high, so will I. I love those words. The wind goes where you send it, so will I.